It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Yes, guys, I'm Si. Welcome to the Flower Hour Meets 8 Podcast Nation. It's the Cardiff City pod where basically we're going to say to you, what do you want to talk about? I am filling in for Robert because he's on he's gallivanting. And I'm delighted for the second time this week, if you're an Ace Podcast Nation member, to be joined by superstar Matty Angel. How are you? Just ignore my camera.
Oh, good. A bit better. I was struggling this morning. I'm not going to lie to you. I just suffered quite a bit with migraines. Hit me for six this morning, really. So a couple of painkillers, back to bed for a while, and jobs are good then.
So back see, for the people, mate.
Back on form now. Yeah.
All about the people, you are, see?
It's Wednesday. The week seems to have gone fast, but it seems like we haven't talked football for a while, although it was Saturday.
Yeah, that's it, mate. It's always weird, isn't it? Like that gap.
I hate this time of the year now, where it's coming towards the end of the season and you're thinking, right, there's only a couple of games left. Like, I know we got two home games on the bounce now. I think after that, then, it's like a couple of months with jack shit. Like, it's a depressing time of year.
I hate the summer, especially when Wales are not involved in the Euros or the World Cup or whatever. I really dislike the summer these days. Sometimes I can kind of get through if like the Ashes is on or something, like some good cricket, like, but it's just painful, mate. It really is. So basically we're going to put it in the hands of the people, mate, but what they want to talk about. But while we wait for some of the latecomers and the rest of it, like, what would you like to talk about, Mr. Matthew Angel?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind really is the rumours that have been in on social media and stuff today. I don't know if you've seen them because I know you've been busy boy today, but obviously there's rumours circulating now about Bullock being linked with the Fenerbahce job.
Yeah.
I don't know how true that is, with him obviously being from the other side of Turkey, and he with can't remember the name of the other team, but they're kind of rivals, isn't it, I think.
Yeah, and I think, like, the thing for me is, one, his agent's playing a blinder, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because if you've got a bit of, like, if there's any doubt in Tan's mind about it, as we're led to believe, that, you know, he's not sure about him, linking him with one of the biggest jobs in Turkey is going to maybe give him a nudge. And also, like, I tend to agree with you, he was from their rivals, so it feels unlikely. I wouldn't say impossible, but it feels unlikely. And then the additional factor that is where the reason he lost his last job in Turkey was due to the style of football. So I find it difficult to believe. I think it's probably his agent. Obviously, I spent the afternoon with Paula Bandato, who's very close links to the club and has covered them for 30 years, knows what's the ins and outs and stuff. I think, like, the impression I got from him is that this not a decision hasn't been made, and it's pretty likely that it won't get a decision till at least the end of next week, I don't think.
Which is bonkers, really, isn't it? It is.
Yeah, but I think what it comes down to is that the board want to keep him and the manager and the owners not sure. That's basically what it comes down to. And for me, mate, like, you know, as I said before, and I've said many times, I think if you can give him a few players that will enable him to build on what he's already built, I think you will see a more attacking style from him. I think it'll still be possession based, but I also think at the start of the season he showed that that possession based doesn't have to mean boring.
Yeah.
It has been boring since Christmas. Don't get me wrong. I'm not defending it or anything like that. But what I'm saying is, at the start of the season, we still played possession football, but we were not boring. I've rewatched, which games have I rewatched recently? I rewatched Swansea at home. I rewatched Huddersfield away, Ipswich away, and Leicester away. We played some unbelievable football in the second half at Leicester. Really, like, popping it about, movement off the ball, pressing. But I'm still playing out from the back. And right, so then I'll ask you a question, Mid. Do you think part of the reason why we've become a bit more like, I don't know, lethargic and slow in the passing from the back is because we lost Mark McGuinness? Was he that important to the way we played?
Potentially, yeah. I think it's an odd one to say because I think Phillips will come in has been. He's been brilliant since he's been here. He's looked a different class, haven't he? In fairness, but then I suppose if you had back in the days where you could make your own player on FIFA, you'd probably combine them both, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, this is it. They both got, and I think we mentioned before, if we were able to get Nat Phillips next year, yeah. I actually think he might play three at the back if we keep McGuinness because. I probably would have liked,
sorry to butt in, to have seen McGuinness and Phillips play together because I think Gutas has been good as well, don't get me wrong, but I think he does have his moments at times.
He's worried me, especially recently, like some of
I think we'd be a lot stronger with McGuinness and Phillips, if I'm honest. I'd feel a bit more comfortable.
And the thing is, mate, playing out from the back is so dependent on having a good holding midfielder, which we do in Cyopis, having a centre-back, at least one centre-back, who is genuinely good on the ball. And I think Naft Phillips is decent on the ball, and he's a very, very, very good defender. I'd say Naft Phillips is good on the ball, but I don't think he's got a passing range that McGuinness has. McGuinness has got a bit more of an eye to, like, you see him like thread a ball through the midfield up to the winger or switch the ball from one side to the other a bit quicker. And it's that speed of thought, which I think we are missing. But I think the biggest issue is we need a number eight, if you like, who can play alongside Sarpis, who can get about, is aggressive, but can pick a pass. And unfortunately, Joe Rawls is in the last stages of his career, I'd say. So he can't play every game. And I think, I don't know, like to me, mate, there was 10 minutes, 15 minutes against Birmingham away. And then I think there was about 20 minutes in the Millwall game, although Millwall, we were shite in the second half. But as soon as Turnbull slotted in there alongside Cyopis, he's like linking up with Colwell, linking up with Ashford, but he follows the ball to get a return. And I think that's what you need from that deep-lying playmaker. It's not just to play the passes, but it's the movement off the ball afterwards. And I think, like I've been saying since January, mate, since he signed, play Turnbull alongside Cyopis.
So I'll throw a question back at you, Wayne, right? And as defenders then, right, thinking about how inconsistent our midfield has been then in regards to the selection, because I don't think we've picked. There's been very rare games where he's gone the same. It might have been once or twice we've gone back to back with the same midfield.
Yeah. I'll tell you when we went back to back is when we played Rawls, Wintle, and Cyopis as a flat three, and we did it for three games in a row.
As a defender, is that going to play tricks with your head when you've got different people playing in front of you all the time? He's bound to, isn't it? Do you think?
Of course it is. Yeah, of course it's going to disrupt it because it's the middle part of the pitch. This is why I'd be, and this is. I don't want to repeat the same point, but the reason I said about playing Turnbull now is give him five or six games alongside Cyopis so they can build a partnership. So Colwell in front of them can build like a trio so they get used to just link it up constantly. because it makes difference. Football's partnerships, mate, especially the system that we are currently playing. The two midfielders are so important to that system. If they haven't got a good understanding of each other, and if the holding midfielder hasn't got a good understanding of everything and got his head on a swivel, it all falls apart. No matter how good everyone else is, it's so based on that double pivot in the middle that if they haven't got a good partnership or one of them's not quite right, it just falls apart, mate. And if you keep chopping and changing it when you don't need to, it's not going to make it any better, is it? Let's say that.
Yeah, I agree, Matt. I agree. 100%.
So we're going to do a video soon. Me, you, and Rob. We're going to film it in the studio. But we're going to kind of go through the squad. We're going to give them a rating. We're going to, you know, say keep, sign, sell, whatever. But just out of the lone players that we do have. So what are you looking at? You've got Carlin Grant, Nat Phillips, Wilson Esbrand.
I feel like he's gone back already, haven't he?
Wilson Esbrand gone back now, is he? But well, I will include him for this. But there was one other as well. I can't think who it is.
Jeju,
that's it. Right. So out of those four loans, would you try and get any of them back next year, whether it's to sign or to loan?
If I'm honest, out of the four, I think realistically, the only one I think, and I think, again, Grant is probably on big money at West Brom. But I think maybe he's enjoyed...
I was just going to say, if you take money out of it, like in terms of wages, would any of those four would you have?
Grant and Phillips I'd have, and I'd send the other two. I'd drive them back myself.
Mm-hmm. I think like Wilson Esbrand showed glimpses, and I actually think his arrival perked up Jamalu Collins a bit, where he had a bit of competition. But when O'Dowd is fit and Joel Bagan's going to be back, I don't know what we're going to do with him because he hasn't had the most... greatest loan. And we'll talk about the players who are out on loan now in a minute. But I mean, I think if you've got O'Dowd a fit and you've got Jamalu Collins and you've got Joel Bagan, I don't really think you need to use a loan on Wilson Esbrand. I don't think he's done so much that you think, wow. Like, I'd rather try and get Cody Dramer on. He's on a free at the end of the year. I'd rather sign him. I think Carlin Grant, I absolutely would. I wouldn't like break the bank for him and stuff like that. But if you can do a negotiation where it's cost effective or you get him on loan again, I would probably bring him back. I think he's done enough. Because I think with him, I think if we can get a good number eight, whether that's Turnbull or someone else, Joel Colwell, or we sign someone, if you could get them and you can get an out and out good striker, and you can get some movement going around Grant and Colwell. I actually think Grant has shown enough that he might excel. And I think if you look at his previous seasons in goal scoring terms, you know, I think he could chip in with 10 goals or something over a season from the left. But I think he needs the things around him in place. Like at the moment, I think we're far too slow in the way we play to really utilize what he can do. Josh Bowler's the other one. Would you keep him?
Yeah. No. You look at both of them playing in similar positions on either side of the field then. And I think this is something you've touched upon previously about, and it's something we've always said about, you know, Cardiff fans will always back a player if they can see he's putting the effort in. Yeah. And Grant will go up and down that left-hand side all day, every day. You might miss chances, Grant... no pun intended, granted he misses too many chances, but he does put the graft in, and he has got that work ethic, which I think was taken a lot of Cardiff fans. That's why they like him. One of the reasons I like him is because that, you know, when he puts the shirt on, he's putting a shift in.
Yeah.
Whereas you look at Bowler on the other side, and I just don't get that same kind of feeling from him. He doesn't seem to want it as much. And that's just my personal opinion, but that's
like,
what I
do. I think when we've had those really, really bad performances, right, is when you have a really bad performance, is you look at the players, some players give up, down tools, some players try and just having a bad game, and you kind of look at that and you can see which ones genuinely want it. And he looks like someone who wants to play for the badge and wants to do well. And then you've got other players who maybe don't fall into that category.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because bowlers, and again, this is something we've said loads and loads, and is, you know, I'm not slating the bloke at all, because some of the stuff he's done in a Cardiff shirt, he's done some really good stuff.
Mm. He was really good, really good before his injury, mate, as well.
Yeah, I just think he needs to do a little bit more. And whether that's us being Cardiff fans and we expect more. But at the end of the day, we've all got our opinions, and we can all voice our opinions. It's not as we're slagging him off and stuff like that. It's far from
It's not him as a person. I think he's got all the tools to be a genuine top class championship winger.
Agreed.
But I wish we'd seen him on the left. Like, I wish, even if they don't want to like play him as a left winger, say he doesn't like it, or the manager, whatever. I would love if him and Grant, just if they're not getting any change out of the fullback, even if it's, you know, one's doing all right and one's not, like, just switch sides for 20 minutes. I wish we would do. We seem to be the only team who play this system with like the double pivot in the deep midfield and then three behind the striker. And we're the only team where the three behind the striker aren't fluid and don't, you know, they interchange and they all move. Because I had a conversation with Paul today and I was saying, you know, if Ramsey could get himself fit, what happens with Reuben Caldwell? And I think I was said at the start of the season, I don't want to see Reuben Caldwell out wide. However, if Reuben Caldwell plays off the right and Ramsey, say, was in the middle and you had O'Dowda or Grant or whoever on the left, but they all kind of interchange and it's all quite fluid. You look like, you think of like a Phil Foden plays on the right, but he doesn't play as a right winger. Like, I think it could work, but it only works if they swap sides. They, you know, the number 10 goes to the right. I just don't know if Bullitt's got that in him to let him. Like, to me, the way he sets up, mate, right? The way our back seven set up, so the keeper, the back four and the two, we're really, really solid. Like, we're very difficult to break down, compact, everything. So I just think the wingers should be high and wide. The number 10, whoever it is, should have the freedom to really go where the fuck he wants, try and create something and do something a bit special, have a bit of license and freedom to really express himself. And then you could still have him as part of the press and stuff like that when we're out of possession. But in possession, I would like to see that those three just have a bit more freedom, because you've still got the base. If it breaks down, the wingers will come back, the number 10 will drop in. So you're still going to have that solid base. It's not like if you give them three freedom, everything falls apart defensively, because it doesn't. We still got that solid base. And I think that's where Bullitt is losing people, is he's a bit too pragmatic all the time.
Yeah.
And the other thing, mate, sorry, I'll stop talking now. The other thing which came up today, which I brought up to Paul, which I thought was quite an interesting discussion point, is people will accept shit football if you're winning. Marky Mackay, the football, when we won the league, was fucking not good to watch, mate. But you know what? Why it was good? Because we kept winning 1-0, 1-0, 2-1, 1-0, 2-1. And we just kept churning out games one at a time, just kept winning. Football was terrible, but the fans built this relationship with the team and the manager, and they kept winning. So I ask you this then, mate. Say since January, where it's kind of all the bottom's fallen out over this season, what if you flip that, right? And we were now like fifth, really, like not playing the same sort of football, but we were winning more than we were losing and we were in the playoff positions. Do you think people are still pissed off with him then? I don't.
No.
Because I think they look and you go, wow, we've gone from relegation to playoffs. And if you think about it, mate, as well, last thing I'll say before I take a breath is, if we were to win our last three games, I think we'll probably finish eighth. He's managed to go from relegation fodder to eighth with no striker, at least, let's say, one or two with a bit of a throwing their toys out at times. And you're arguably your best and most experienced player out for a massive chunk of the season, plus then O'Dowda and some others out, like McGuinness and that. So when you break it down like that, he's probably done quite well, considering, surely.
Yeah. Well, when you look at it, if Redknapp hadn't had them points deducted last year, we'd have been in League One.
Yeah.
So it was only the fact that happened that saved our bloody bacon. So to go from that to what we have gone is, you know, we've said numerous times again, you know, you would have bit people's hands off, but I think just that expectation is always to do better in it, I suppose, which is not a bad thing, but I suppose being realistic as well is, for me, I obviously you want to win games, but it's just about that effort and want and determination out on the field, putting a shift in, putting a performance
100%.
In. If we were to draw a game 1-1, as long as you can, you know, you can see them boys walking off the pitch and they've given 100% and they've gone into every challenge they can, then, you know, what more can you ask? Like, but there's been far too many occasions this season where we've played well for the first 20, 30 minutes at home, maybe conceded a goal against the runner play, and then it's just gone to complete and utter shit.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, like, let him, because I do think, right, I do think that the basis of the team, and when I say the basis, I mean maybe like 7 or 8 players within the first team are good enough to take this team on. And I think if you can add, say, 4 good to very good championship players to those, but then be the right players. Like, we have to get a striker who can put the ball in the back of the net and have Isaac Davis back. So we have 2 options, and then Kean Ashford as well. We have to get, well, should I say, we either have to play Turnbull as a number 8 or get a number 8 that is going to play. I said the other day, if Birmingham get relegated, I would break the bank to get Jordan James. I stand by that. If Birmingham get relegated, Cardiff should do everything they can to sign Jordan James, because I think he's the perfect partner for Psyopis, both in defence and attack. He's young, so he's capable of being there for the years to come. But he can also, if Psyopis was injured or suspended, or he can play that role. So he gives a bit of versatility. He also has been playing number 10 for Birmingham recently. I don't think that's his position. Yeah. He's Welsh, which I think is never a bad thing.
I think the trouble thing is now is that where you've had consistent performances for Birmingham, perhaps, and in the Welsh team, it's going to raise more. Which is also going to increase his price tag, which might then see Cardiff out of the running type of thing.
But then, and that's why I say if they go down, because if I think realistically, if they go down, a Premier League team probably won't take a risk on him. If they stay up, I think a Premier League team would come in.
Yeah.
But I understand this probably a pipe dream, because what we should have done is we should have gone in for him last summer when we were linked with him, when he wasn't starting at the start of the season before Rooney came in, he wasn't playing. And we should have got him then when we were linked to him, because we'd have got him for jack shit. But as usual with Cardiff, we're behind the curve. And then when Rooney came in, for all the things Rooney done wrong at Birmingham, he's straight away started Jordan James, and he was playing every week, and he's played every week since. I just think he's quality and he's so young. But then who did Paul say? Paul said someone, what was his name? Another, a different number 8. I can't remember who it was from, possibly from West Brom. But then here's the thing, right, mate? I've been having a look into our players who are out on loan and trying to watch some clips, look at their stats and stuff like that. As much, because I want to do a video on it, see. So I've been trying to like do as much research as I can, basically. And you know, there's not a lot out there, but there's a bit. And yeah, Alex Mowat, that was it, Jonathan. Yeah, you're right there. I think Eli King is worth a look. From what I've seen and looking at his stats, he looks like he's consistently been a higher level than his teammates, and you know, including I prefer like the eye test rather than just going at stats. But I, you know,
where's he to again now
in Scotland? Didn't he? I forget the name,
Didn't he have rave reviews against Rangers the other day or something?
Yeah, he had an excellent game against Rangers the other day. So I'm not saying like he's the answer, but what I'm saying is he's already on our books. Like, so let's have a proper look at him. But to do that, you've got to get him in pre-season early doors, and you've got to play him with the first team players. So you've got to play him with Psyopis in pre-season, so you can have a proper look at him and say, right, is he going to be good enough? Ross County does. Same thing with Isaac Davis, although my worry with him is similar to my worry with Perry NG, is because we have no money, when you look at our sellable assets, Perry NG realistically should cost about 5 million. We'd probably sell him for 2. Matt McGuinness probably sellable, although I think his injury may have put a kibosh on that a bit. But if he had carried on his form for the whole season, I think he would have been. And then I think Isaac Davis been linked with 2 massive clubs in Monaco and Anderlecht. And if you're, was Isaac 19, 20? Yeah. If you're him, you've just been to Belgium, lived away from home for the first time for a year, and then a Champions League team comes in Monaco, and, or, you know, a team which is in the Champions League more often than not, say, or at least sometimes, and then a historically massive club like Anderlecht come in, and it's like, do you want to come back to Cardiff and hope you can get in the starting lineup, or do you want to take a chance and go and sign for 2 massive clubs and get banked at the same time? I don't know, mate. I don't think anyone can put themselves in his position and say sure what they do.
And obviously, the manager situation again then has got to come into, if he doesn't know what's happening either, because I'm guessing they would have had some kind of conversation between, or, you know, Bullock would have staff who were talking to Davis, or there's communication between both parties, I would imagine. How much, I don't know. Yeah. But obviously, if he doesn't know what the hell is going on, and then you've got the likes of Monaco and Anderlecht knocking at the door, it's a no-brainer for me.
Of course it is. And then, like, don't get me wrong, I do not want to sell Perry NG. What? Not even a little bit. I think he's the best right-back in the Championship alongside Walker Peters. But
you know Cardiff are selling.
Yeah, of course they will. We've got a history of doing it. We sell all our best players for the wrong price. And if we've got no money, which is basically like the constant sort of press briefing, how are you going to get money to back the manager, whoever the manager is? You've got to sell someone. And I think when you look at it, who else are you going to sell for money, really?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anyone else in that squad where you're going to get a few million from him. Now, I think as much as good as I think Perry NG is, and as much as I don't want to sell him, if you could say sell it, if you could sell him for 5 million and that 5 million goes to the manager to spend, I could stomach it with difficulty, because I think it's easier to find a right back replacement for a decent price.
So use another
than question. It is if we had like a, if we had like a number 9 who'd scored 25 goals this season and we had to sell
another
him.
Question for you. When you mentioned his name earlier, so would you be happy selling Perry NG if we'd got Cody Dreamer in before he went, type of thing? Would you be happy with that kind of replacement?
I love Cody Dreamer, and I think Cody Dreamer's on, I think he's on a free at the end of this season. I would absolutely sign him because I think he loved his time here. He found form, and I would 100%, like Jonathan's just said, if we lose NG for a good price, we need to get Cody Dreamer back. Yeah, 100%, mate.
It would soften the blow a little bit, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And the thing is, mate, right, say you could sign, if you sold, say you get 5 million for Perry NG. All right. I don't want it, but if it happens, it happens. And that 5 million is going to go on the players. Get Cody Dreamer on a free. It might take him a bit of time to get back up to speed because I don't think he's played loads. But I just think, like, I think even with, like I said in, I think I said in January, mate, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure I said in January, or might have even been a bit earlier than that, that I was worried that we would sell McGuinness and NG in the summer. Because if you look at what Premier League teams, the way all Premier Leagues are trying to play now, and the age and the profile of player, like they tick, both of them tick so many boxes. Age is good. They're both good on the ball. they both defend really well. They're both quite aware defensively and like positionally, and like every the team seems to tick a lot of boxes for what like a Premier League team would look for, someone who they can, you know, coach and build on over a period of time. And I got to say, imagine we didn't have Nat Phillips made on loan. Like McGuinness being out, we'd have been right struggling. I got to be honest.
Because
when's he been out since?
Oh, bloody hell, he hasn't played for a long time, maybe.
Has he played? He hasn't played this year, has he? Like 2024?
I wouldn't be surprised if he played maybe one or two games at the beginning of January, but I don't think he's been in the running since. And I didn't think his injury was that bad, really, to be honest. But I don't even know what it is off the top of my head. Was it hamstring or something like that, was it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know, mate. It was a weird one.
O'Dowd is another one. Something else I wanted to come back on as well. He was out for most of the season. And he came back and he looked really good, didn't he, in fairness? But obviously he's picked up another injury now. He's 28. And is he coming to that just question for you then? Is he coming at that stage now where he's going to pick up all these niggles all the time? Are we going to see consistent games out of him? Because, like I said, when he came back, he looked as if he hadn't been away, in fairness. But, you know, is this somebody they want to, I don't know what his contract is. Is it going to be, are they going to want somebody like that on the books where they're going to be getting injured all the time? Rambo as well. But
yeah, I mean, you don't want to have like a group of three or four players who you know are going to be in. Like, you know, with Ramsey, he's not going to play 30, 40 games a season. If you can get 20 out of him, you're happy, really, because you've got a young number 10 in Corwell who can come in. So if you can get 20 games out of Ramsey, I think you're happy, being honest.
Yeah.
But you don't want to have two players which are not only available for that sort of 15, 20 games a season, because I think that's an issue. I love O'Dowda. I like him as a person and I like him as a player. He can obviously play left back and left wing. If we were a real club, mate, like a proper club, as I said to you about the manager thing the other day, we'd have a short list of players. We'd have a short list of managers who we, you know, had all this information about. We'd have a couple of left-sided players ready to look at. We'd have a couple of right-backs in case NG goes. You know, we'd have a centre-back in case. What happens if we can't get Phillips next year? What happens if we do sell McGuinness? Like, we'd have a list of players. And I just don't believe that the club is that organised, mate. I don't even think they've got a list of number nines. And we all know we need the number nine.
Yeah.
It's frustrating, mate. Let's have a look at some of these comments. Jonathan says...
Loads of comments in here. It's nice to see some new faces as well. So welcome, guys. Thanks for interacting with us.
Jonathan says, I'd even try and get rid of Romeo for Dramer, to be honest, and have Dramer and NG. If we can keep NG, great. Romeo and Robinson seem to be bad eggs this season. I can't... I've been told off for talking about Robinson too much. So I'm not allowed to... I'm not going to say anything more about that because... The person who told me the information was not impressed. No, he's got a great attitude. He's not a problem. And he's been working really hard to get back in the first team. And I look forward to seeing him again in a Cardiff City shirt. There's so many, so I'm just going to pick and choose. Reese says, so the annoying thing is, let's say we do sell NG and those, we'd sell on the cheap. And all we'll hear is Tan puts in $3 million a month to fund the club. The same statement Dalman puts out year after year. Yeah. So I got told I was defending Dalman the other day, by the way. So just to be clear, what I said is when Cardiff eventually at some point get their shit together and we have a football structure in the football club above the manager, whether that means a new owner or whatever, what I said was I would keep Mehmet Dalman. Not as necessarily as chairman, but I would keep him in charge of the commercial side of things, the business side of things, because he's a successful businessman. I would keep him away from the football side of things. I would keep him away from transfers. Like, he might be on the a committee or whatever who okays the money, but I wouldn't have him giving that information about who to sign and is he good enough or is he not. We should have a football structure for that. And it does my nut in, mate. I don't want to talk about it again. But it blows my mind, mate, that we've got got one analyst at the football club. No wonder you've got YouTube channels like ours doing previews and pulling up stuff, and then on the Saturday you watch it all happen. And you're thinking, well, hang on, if I can see that, or he can see that, or all the fans can see that, why haven't our analysts seen that? It's because we've got one guy, supposedly. And look, like I said the other day, I'll do it. £100 a week.
Yeah, £100 a week and a family season ticket.
Yeah. Happy days. Lorna disagrees with me about something. I don't know what it was, though. All right. She said, sorry, sir, I disagree with that comment. I'll accept losses if we actually show we're fighting and playing with passion, show pride for playing with us. I don't think I said anything different, did I? Oh, the only thing I said was that...
we were winning 1-0 all the time.
Yeah, if you were winning 1-0. Like, but I still think, like, if we were winning and we were at the top of the league, but the football was shite, people will accept it. I just think it's it's just part of it, because you're winning and you're excited and the rest of it. So what else we had? Jonathan, I like this comment. Jonathan said, we haven't seen good football since Dave Jones, the manager. What do you mean Russell Slade didn't play good manager? Good football. Jesus.
Happened to Dave Jones? He just gone off the face of the earth, hasn't he?
He's too busy ignoring my texts, he is.
He
never replies to me, man. I got some other people on the case now. I'm trying to get him to reply. But then, do you know, this was funny, right? On Russell Slade, I really hope that one day someone doesn't go back through my historic Facebook page and look at the time that Russell Slade was a manager. I did not like him, and I was not a fan, and I was very, very critical of the football club there. So if I ever get a job at Cardiff City by any chance, doing something, I'll have to delete all that. Because, yeah, I was not a fan. But it was not just him. I didn't think it was fair on him. He was out of his depth. Like, he should never have been the manager of Cardiff City. He was clearly never at that level. He was just trying to save money. And I think what I said was, you could have just got there was other managers who would have done the same thing and not been a League One manager at best. Jonathan says O'Dowd has got another year, I think. On the players, I think you could potentially sell. You've also got Sawyers and someone else. But Reese says, throw a curveball. I think Sawyers next to Siopis would work if he was match fit. I think the two of them would be an ideal partnership in midfield. Do you know what? Sawyers has not played for so long. I think I've forgotten if he's any good. And I think he's out of contract as well. So I'm not saying you're wrong, Reese. I think it's been so long since we've seen him be fit and sharp and playing. But just tell you what, they were right, mate. Without naming any names, I've heard that Romain Sawyer's attitude this year has been exceptional. And you think how many was he been in the squad? 5 times in the match day squad, probably throughout the season. 5 times, maybe a couple more, a couple less, maybe, right? And his attitude, training, everything has been exemplary.
Fair play to him.
But then, has that gone? If everyone had that type of attitude, then I think that would be massive, wouldn't it? Because everyone would be pulling in the same direction. There wouldn't be any disruptions. There wouldn't be any arguments off the field and stuff like that. And I think I've said a couple of times recently, mate, as important as it is to get a number 9, a number 8, you know, this, that and the other, get a manager sorted, I think it's also important to get the right players moved on, not just for the club's sake and taking the club forward and the dressing room and stuff like that, but it's also, I think, for them as well, for their careers. Like, I feel sorry for, like, Sawyers. He's a professional footballer and he doesn't play. Like, he must just want to move on. And, you know, you might not get much money for him, or he's out of contract, so you won't get anything, but...
How old is Sawyers now, Annie? Because he's got to be... he's got to be
28, maybe, I'm guessing, but I'll have a look. I reckon 28 is my guess.
32 I'm going for.
Ooh. He was born in November 91. So what's that?
31.
10 years younger than me. Oof. It's an interesting one. Right. Very quickly, mate. Would you, just one word answers for these. I just want you to say if you'd keep them in the first team squad next year, or would you loan them out again, or so loan, keep, or move on to the best of your ability and knowledge. Eli King.
Loan again.
Isaac Davis.
Keep, just because of the situation. I know you wanted one word answers, but just because of the dire fucking straits we're in with regards to goal scorers.
Ojo's, I think it might be out of contract, but
yeah,
Joel Bagan.
Is a difficult one, because just before he went out on loan, he signed another 3-year contract, didn't he? I think so.
Mental, that was, wasn't it? Yeah. Didn't we release him as well just before he signed a new contract? I'm sure if you go back through the Cardiff website, I'm sure he was on the list of players that got released and then 2 days later signed the contract. I'm almost positive of it.
I'm not too sure, but I wouldn't imagine if he was to sell him on, he's not going to demand a huge.
No,
be really.
He's probably worth having a look, isn't he? See if he's could he be good backup? Because I think Jamadu Collins seems like one of those players who needs competition to get the best out of him. I think he's been really, really good the last couple of games, even against Millwall in the first half. I thought he was really, really good again, and he's getting forward. Like, you remember before he had his injury, he only played like a handful of games, didn't he? And he just looked like this marauding fullback who was going to be like up and down, defensively sound. And then it's taken him time, I think, to get back after his injury, which is completely understandable. And before that, the first Swansea game, he had looked like he was a bit nervous of getting smashed in the knee. And then he had that 50-50 in the Swan Jacks game, and they just went bang. And it was like everyone just went, and he got up and he was fine. And you could almost see him go, like, flex his knee a bit. And he was like, right, okay, I'm good. And then I thought after that, defensively, I thought it'd been pretty solid all season. But on the ball and going forward, he was quite average. Then he lost his place to Wilson Esbrand. And then when he's come back, I think he looks really attacking again. So
yeah,
it's difficult, mate. Who else was I going to ask you about? And then I was going to ask you about a couple. So would you keep Kean Ashford in the first team squad, or would you loan him out next year? I know things might change, but let's just go with as of today.
I would probably say loan. It'll be interesting to see now, because I think he'll feature in the last three games. So it all depend really on how the manager sees him there. But with him being so young, I would probably say get him out playing regular football rather than coming on for 10, 15 minutes here and there. But things could change with in the last two or three games if he's given time on the pitch, then, should we say.
Yeah. What about Joel?
Don't get me wrong, Saturday is going to be a ridiculous game, hard game. So I don't know how much he'll play Saturday. And Barra's not going to be easy the week after either.
There's no easy games to win the championship. It's all just constant, isn't it? Would you, what about Joel Colwell as of today? Would you keep him around? Would you loan him out?
Yeah, I'd keep him around, I think, just on what
people have said about him.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, obviously that goes a long way, doesn't it? You know, when people within the club are saying he's got the potential to be better than his brother, I think that's big compliments to him. So, you know, players like that, we want to be keeping him in around the building, don't we? And again, it'd be nice to see him out on the pitch playing, really, because, you know, he's been involved with the first team squad the last couple of games, which obviously means he's not playing for the under 23s, which means he's not playing football, really, is he?
He's been in the squad quite a lot this year, really.
Yeah.
He's been on the bench a few times. But I agree with you. It's weird, isn't it? Like, he's so highly rated, and same with Ashford, that everyone's raving about him, and you get these press stories as well about how the players are all impressed with him, and then they don't get on, and it's like, for goodness sake. But if we're going to loan them next year, I want to see them both go to like a League One side where they're going to play week in, week out. And I want a January recall clause, because I think both have the potential to be first team players. I would have rather them be coming, like the last couple of games have come off the bench. I know Ashford has, but both of them coming off the bench.
Yeah.
And then with the eye of maybe coming off the bench on Saturday versus Southampton, and then the last home game of the season starting. And so we could have a real look at them over a, like a 5-game period in the Championship. Didn't happen, but we've got 3 games left. Maybe we, you know, maybe we see him. What, I want to go to a comment from Paul in a minute to finish off, but before I go to that, mate, as of today, so what are we, like Wednesday night, 10 to 10 against Southampton Saturday. We're safe from relegation. We're not getting the playoffs. It's at home. What would your starting 11 be?
Well, I don't think Alnwick, I'd be surprised if Alnwick plays again, because I think something's gone on there. And I think we've had that conversation previously as well.
He haven't even been on the bench, mate, have we?
No. And they're saying he's injured, but I think the relationship between him and the manager's broke down ever since he dropped him at the start of the season, or not long after the start of the season, and put Runnison in. And I think perhaps the respect Alnwick had for him has gone. I didn't think he'd done anything wrong, in fairness.
No. And then he brought in Howarth, who I think, you know, Howarth on the whole has been very good. But I think, like, Alnwick probably, and we're hypothesizing, of course, we don't know, but like, it does feel a bit like his nose was put out of joint, because he brought in Runnison, it was shite, and he gave him the starting place for no reason. And then when he got rid of Runnison, then you're thinking, right, I'm back to Alnwick now, thank you. And then he signed Howarth on a permanent deal, and you're like, ugh. And then he started, you know, he wasn't long before, and I think I said at the time, it won't be long before he's in the starting lineup for whatever reason. He doesn't seem to fancy Alnwick. So, all right, so I think you'd pick Alnwick, wouldn't you, if he was available?
Yeah, I would. I haven't been convinced with Howarth, really, to be honest. I know he's come with a good reputation in previous clubs, but I think his distribution's been poor. You know, the number of times I've been sat behind him in the family stand and he's kicked the ball straight out from a goal kick and things. It has got better, don't get me wrong. But, like, the first goal on Saturday against Millwall, getting beaten at your near post, he should have done better than that. But it is what it is. I think the back four will pick yourself.
Yeah.
That's not going to change. Collins, NG, Gutas and Phillips. And Reece have hit the nail on the head, but it'll depend whether he's thinking, you know, am I playing to keep my job? If they announced before, which I doubt very much.
Then, well, this is what people keep forgetting when they, and including myself in this, like people getting their knickers in a twist, including me, about not doing certain things like playing Ashford or Joel Colwell or giving Tanner a go, is he might be thinking, if I can get X amount of points from these last 3 games, there's more chance of me getting the job. Whereas if I go and play the kids and we get stuffed, I'm going to lose my job. But let's say that his job's safe, just for this little exercise.
What I would like to see personally, would I would like him to start the kids. Say kids, they're not kids, they're young men, no men. But I would like to see Joel Colwell and Ashford have a start. Where they would start, I'm not too sure. Just play Ashford more off the right instead of Bowler. I don't know. I think we need to have a strong midfield, because they'll be good Southampton Saturday. I was looking a little bit about them earlier, and I think they're third or fourth in the league for away points. So I think they've got 36 points out of their total away game so far. So they're pretty good on the road.
They outplayed us in the first game as well, completely and utterly.
Yeah, so. And they beat us quite convincingly at their place, didn't they, I think?
Yes.
I can't remember the final score, but...
let's say you were going to start Joel Caldwell in number 8, say, right?
Yeah.
Who would his partner be for you?
I'd say CO, really, just for that experience to help guide him round, perhaps. Like you said, it's not going to be an easy game, and I think he needs to have that strong person next to him. I'm pretty sure CO's English is good enough for Joel to understand from just some of the videos and things I've seen of CO's talking. But I think if you are going to chuck him in the deep end, so to speak, I think he needs to have that experience alongside him because...
Yeah.
You're throwing him in the deep end, basically.
Okay, and so you play Ashford off right?
I'd go Ashford off the right. I would go... I'm torn about putting Grant up front and potentially somebody else off the left, maybe Tanner off the left, perhaps. And Grant, Mate is not floating my boat, Jeju.
So what about this?
I go Grant up top and Tanner on the left.
Yeah, and I think also for Joel Caldwell, having Cyopas, like you said, experienced international footballer, having his brother in there in the midfield area is probably going to help him as well.
Yeah.
in terms of nerves. And he's also very close to Ashford. So, this player's in there. He's been with the first team squad all season. So he's going to, it's not like he's coming in fresh from the academy to the first team and not knowing anyone and the rest of it. Jonathan says Ashford through the middle, Grant, Tanner, Turnbull, Cyopas and Caldwell. I'm assuming he means Turnbull and Cyopas in a 2. Caldwell as number 10. And then Ashford, Grant and Tanner as the 3. Don't think there's much wrong with that, mate. I think it's difficult, isn't it? I was thinking about it today. Like, if he thinks he's got to win games to keep his job, you can see why he's reluctant to go full experimental. But I would argue that playing Turnbull and Cyopas, whilst it seems experimental because we haven't seen it, it's the best duo we've got to play those positions, and we should have seen it more often than what we have. So that I kind of... But if you're going to put Joel in there, I think you absolutely have to be patient. And look, Joel Caldwell might be so good, he takes to it like he's been playing there for years, like Kobe Mainoo or the guy from Liverpool. Like, sometimes these young players are just that good that they just take to first team football as if it's nothing.
And I think running out in front of, I don't know how many fans will be there Saturday, 18, 20,000, should we say there?
9,000.
Yeah. Running out in front of them, you know what it's like. You've been down here when, you've got homegrown players playing. The crowd kind of gets behind them that a little bit more, I think. What I would hope is that they would do that and give them that extra couple of percent to put in. Granted, they'll be nervous and they'll be shaking like shitting dogs, no doubt. But as long as, they are putting that graft and the effort in and the crowd get behind them, then I think, I think it's the best place to get them in. But what a game to put them in Southampton, because Southampton are still within a shout of automatic promotion, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I mean, if you go back as far as, I think it was the Blackburn home game, mate, probably maybe even further, I was saying on the shows, like, the manager's got an opportunity with these home games where if he names an attacking lineup, Caldwell, whoever, like, Grant through the middle, Tanner on the right, this, that, and the other. The crowd, an hour before kickoff, will automatically... Sorry, mate. They'll be automatically lifted and more up for the game because they see the lineup. They see he's done something different. There's more attacking. There's youngsters in there. So by the time the kickoff comes, the fans are bouncing already. Plus, if Ashford's in there, Joel Caldwell's in there, Reuben Caldwell's in there, the fans are going to be more patient. They just are, but they're not going to be if they see the same shit every week, same shit players with the same bad attitude and the same fixing your hair band, hand on hips.
Yeah, because you can
what see you expect
it.
Then.
Yeah, and when you say it like that, you know, you can see people's faces when you know you're sat in the crowd and the announcement comes up on your phone and of the predicted like or the you know the lineup and you can see.
Yeah.
And you can hear conversations in the stadium of.
Yeah, well, groans and moans. Again,
So that atmosphere is thing before well, the game's even started.
So Reese has just said there. He said I also think that Bullet's protecting the young players this season. I've heard the crowd go very toxic over misplaced passes, tackles, etc. It might be that. You think if one of the kids makes a mistake, will the crowd turn? Mate, I'll tell you one thing. I do think that's probably part of the reason. However, I disagree because I think 99% of the fans would not get on the back of an Ashford or a Joel Colwell. But, well, I would say two things. One, I would say if I heard someone having a go at it, like the young players, I would say something. But two, people have given Ruben quite a lot of shit. I mean, he's not exactly like experienced pro, is he? Like, you know, it's only this season where he's really had consistent amount of game time. But there we go.
But I wouldn't all go over the top with that either, really. I think he should have probably played more than what he
has. Absolutely should have, mate. Well, I don't want to spoil the show, which is out on Saturday with Paula Bandato, but the conversation of Ruben Colwell's treatment did come up. Right, before we finish off, mate, Paul made, let's see if I can find it. He's made two good points, so I'd like to just sort of answer them before we finish. Just in case anyone's wondering, by the way, that thing above Matt's head over there is the link for Ace Podcast Nation members. It's like £2 or £3 a month. You get loads of exclusive shows and stuff like that. But what you also get is early access to tickets for the Cardiff City Legend events. We have one on the 10th of May with Willie Boland. And I've also confirmed one for July today.
What's a banger?
Which I'm very, very excited about. We're just waiting for the tickets to be printed. As soon as they are printed, it'll be announced. I would expect it to be announced. If not this week, it'll be announced one early next week. I might even give it to the Flower Hour. You never know. Because I might even see if I can get the man.
That'd be a nice thing to do, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
thank
maybe.
You, boys, for helping me along. Yeah. Announce that for me.
No,
you've said it now.
What I meant is I will come on to the Flower Hour and announce it along with said guest.
But yeah, it's going to be a good one, guys. So scan that QR code.
The tickets ain't going to last with that one, I don't think. So Paul says, I'll put it up on the screen. He says, I think we'll get another clear out at the end of this season. We are going to have another. Let's see what freebies we can get. And then same as other seasons. However, I get what the point you're making. But there is some really, really interesting free transfers this year. For a start, Nat Phillips and Cody Dramer is two. Now, for the moment, as it stands, Phillips is probably out of our price range, wages-wise. But if he likes it down here, he might be open to half of his wages or something. You never know. Because he's on Premier League money, like, at the end of the day.
Yeah. There was one player we didn't mention out on loan earlier, so I'm going to throw this one at you. He's been playing really well at Derby. He's been having rave reviews up there, I think. Eboe Adams. What do you think? Gone.
I just don't see where he fits in, mate. Because I don't think he's better than Siopis. So he's only going to be back up to Siopis. However, he can play right back, centre back, part of a three, and he can play in midfield. So from a Cardiff point of view, I don't think he's the worst player to have on the bench. Because he does a few different roles. But realistically, he's not going to start. And I doubt that he wants to sit on the bench all the time. So,
no. And I just think perhaps dropping down that level, he probably found his level. And that's no disrespect to him. He hasn't played. He didn't play much for us, did he? We had injury and stuff as well, but you know,
funny enough, mate, you know, when Ebo Adams signed for Derby, there was this guy, right? He went on BBC Derby, and he went on their BBC Radio Derby, the Cardiff lad, and he said Ebo Adams is going to do exceptionally well for Derby. It's his level, really good player, really physical, really aggressive. You put him in the middle of the park, he'll do a great job for you. And I had a message from the BBC Radio Derby presenter the other day, and he said, "God, you were spot on about him." And I was like, "Yeah, there we go." Because I got loads of shit I did that when I done that interview. It's like, what? Like, I like sought out the BBC to give an interview on a Cardiff player. People are weird, mate. Paul also says, I can't help myself just stirring the pot like a little bit. Paul says, a lot is going to depend on who the manager is next season and what funds are going to be available. What do you guys think we would need money wise for players? 10 million, 20 million? Well, I could tell you right now, we ain't going to get either one of them. No. We'll be lucky if we have five without selling players.
Yeah.
However, I do think the manager has shown that he can do a bit of wheeling and dealing. Because if you look at his, like, look at his signings this year, right? The players that he 100% brought in and were his players, I think Psyopis had a bit of a dip in the middle of the season, but I think there was reasons behind that. Overall, I think he's been pretty good. Gutas, I think, rocky start. When they switched sides, him and McGuinness, he was very good. And then probably from about March, February time, I think he's been a bit shaky, but I still think he's been decent, good signing. Who else did he bring in? Grant on loan, I think he's been relatively good. Bowler, all right, you could maybe say. I mean, he scored a couple of winners, picked up a couple of goals. Not my cup of tea. I don't like certain things about it, but from a managerial point of view. From a managerial point of view, if he looked at that and he's assessing his own performance and it's the signings he's brought in, Gutas, success. Psyopis, success. Grant, success. In terms of, like, he hasn't been a flop. Bowler, all right, I'm sure he would consider him that he's done quite well. Mate, not what I was expecting at all, I've got to say. I was really excited when we signed him. Good championship record. Always seems to score against Cardiff. And I've been a bit disappointed with what has turned up.
But did we sign him on a contract or did we have him on loan?
No, we signed him on a contract. He was on a sneaky free from Reading, wasn't he? But ultimately, like, I think, I guess the point I was making is that the signings that he has made with a bit of wheeling and dealing, I think have been pretty good. Only really Runnison, you could say, Jesus, what did he see? And how much of that was on reputation because he was Arsenal's reserve keeper and he's this and he's that.
But didn't he play for him out in Turkey?
I'm not sure, mate. But
I'm
just
pretty sure he did.
I just know he's not very good.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. I just seen something from someone in the comments. I haven't read it properly, but it's just made me think. Would you sell Ryan Wintle if you could get, say, $1 million and keep Ebo Adams as the sort of more defensive midfielder? So you had you'd have Rawls and Ebo Adams as your backup midfield.
I don't think I would. No, I'd sell him for $1 million if we could sign Jordan James.
Oh yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be
part
nice?
Part exchange?
Yeah, and I think we're gonna have to do a bit of wheeling and a bit of dealing, and maybe there's some players which teams want. So maybe you.
I think that's something we've had a discussion about as well, as catching up and doing some content around potential players that we'd like to come in and
yes. But also, it's like, right, say, I don't know, someone comes in for Perry NG and they offer 5 million. All right, we'll sell him for 5 million, but we want that academy player, or we want that player from your squad on the season long loan.
And that's where you need that person in the club who's going to be switched on
technical
and have those types of conversations, isn't it? It's like, yeah, granted, you can have him for that amount, but we want X, Y, and Z in return.
Yeah, there's Freeze out there. I'm pretty sure Kipri's on a free as well. Someone will correct me if I'm wrong. Reese, is Kipri on a free?
Yeah,
you could potentially keep Kipri and Dramer on a free. And then Phillips is supposed to be on like 40 grand a week, same as Grant. So I think Grant has got another year. So if you were going to get Grant back, he'd have to be on a loan. And Phillips, if he's on a free, which I think he is, he'd have to half it. He'd have to half that 40 grand. I cannot see, even on a free, I cannot see Cardiff paying someone 40 grand a year, especially because Ramsey's not on that. And I think he would rightly ask a question. If we paid Nat Phillips 40 grand a week, Ramsey has a right to go, hang on a minute, I was on way more than that, and I'm not getting that.
Before we finish, Ian, there's a conversation me and Rob have had previously, and I don't know if you was watching that then, right? So, obviously, with Rambo's injuries and Rolsey, I would imagine next year he'd be a bit more of a, you know, he's club captain and things. But if the conversation could be had with Nat Phillips and said, right, instead of 40 grand a week, for example, you'd have 30 grand plus the captain's armband. Do you think he'd consider that?
I think a lot of it depends on how he's enjoyed his time here. If he's like got a really good relationship with the squad and he likes the area, then realistically to me, and like I do not have that sort of money, but like to me, once you're earning that much money per week, I don't think there's a lot of difference between 30 grand and 40 grand a week, really. No. So it may be the captaincy or, you know, little bonuses and stuff. You know, it's X amount of clean sheets, 5 goals, you know, whatever it may be. Like, you get those performance bonuses in there to top it up. Just depends on how much he's enjoyed his time here, mate. It really, I think that's what it comes down to.
But what an ideal loan he's had. He's been put in the shop
window. Yeah, he's been excellent, mate. Excellent.
He's been put in the shop window, and fair play to him. He's fighting for a contract somewhere else, because I wouldn't imagine he'll get another one at Liverpool. Oh,
mate. But I look at
I got a funny feeling he'll end up going to someone like Leeds or something like that, I'll guess.
Either someone who gets promoted or one of the teams who just survive must have a look at him, because I think, like, same with like a McGuinness or an NG. Like, I think if you're looking at championship defenders, those three can all give like really good options for deep, like, you know, for free. And we, Cardiff and McGuinness would sell McGuinness or NG for probably fuck all, like, you know. So without Cardiff, have got
Max Play.
Yeah, it's the same, mate. Cardiff have got no money, mate. No money. So people expecting like us to splash millions are going to be in for a bit of a shock. We're just going to be wheeling and dealing. We might have a little bit to spend, but it's not going to be much. But then I look at the January window, right? We signed Turnbull on a permanent and Howarth on a permanent. Thought they were two very intelligent signings. And I think long-term, they will both come good. I do agree with you on Howarth distribution, but I think he's also kept us in a lot of games. Now, would Alnwick have done that? Probably. But I mean, I think it's good to have two decent keepers. So it'll be interesting. And, you know, like Reese has just said there, Burnley, Luton, Sheffield United maybe coming down. So you could imagine Nat Phillips in Sheffield United's defence. Big club, probably pay him that money. So, again, it just depends how much he has enjoyed his time in Cardiff, doesn't it?
I know we need to wrap up, right? But I was just looking back at some of the former Southampton players over the years.
And
they've had some legends, haven't they?
Mental.
They've had some legends play for their club. And again, they're a massive club and probably deserve to be up in the Premier League. But I suppose, you know.
I'll give you three guesses for my favourite Southampton player of all time.
Matt Letizia?
No. Same era, though.
Francis Benali.
Yeah! Go on, my son. Well, then.
I was looking at them earlier. The likes of, like, Stuart Ripley played there, didn't he? Tim Flowers, Shearer.
Quality, mate.
Ken Moncow, remember him?
legends.
Some real top players. Yeah, Gareth Bale.
Right, final question tonight. Who's your favourite player who's ever come on loan to Cardiff City, not including Aaron Ramsey? Not including anybody who kind of was like an ex-player who came back. Like out-and-out loans who were like in and out.
Kumarsen, wasn't it? He never...
I'd love Jason Kumarsen.
It's got to be, isn't it? And I'd love to see his boy come on loan next year.
I just don't... The reason I don't... Well, I can see it if we sell Isaac Davis. I don't see us having Isaac Davis, Ashford, and Kumarsen. You won't have three young strikers. Unless they go in with like one out and out number 10 or number 9, like, and then just have the three youngsters as backup to sort of come in.
Yeah, and just, suppose, we just need to buy an out and out goal scorer, don't we?
Yeah, we'll have a proper good luck with when we do those videos. We're going to have to do them soon.
But, well, considering we was only going to do for 45 minutes tonight, so we haven't done too bad, but.
I'm tired tonight, so I haven't stopped talking.
Great interaction in the comments as well. Appreciate all them.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Casper Smichael, Gary O'Neill. My favourites, Eddie Newton, Jason Kumas. They are my two favourites.
Gary O'Neill was a top player. Jamie Floyd.
Eddie Newton, come down to City on loan. He was fine, so good. And then following year, when the FA Cup with Chelsea, it was just like, but Jason Kumas, but Bellamy, mate, when he came on loan, was fucking quality. How did we not get promoted with Dave Jones, with Chopra, Bothroyd, McCormack, and Bellamy at one point? We didn't, and with Peter Whittingham behind them, and we didn't get promoted. Mental. Absolutely mental. Right. It's been a pleasure, Matthew, as always.
Yeah, top man. Thank you, buddy.
So I don't think Rob's about on Saturday. However, I can't do Saturday night. So the weekend flower hour match reaction will be early doors on Sunday morning breakfast show. So if you want to join us live for that, you'll have to be up early doors. Wednesday. Tomorrow night is something. I don't know what's normally on Thursday. Me. Roger Diggs on football. Preview on Friday. I'll drop a video. I got some videos in the bank tomorrow. If you haven't checked it out already, check out Terry Phillips dropped the episode 3 of the History of Cardiff City on the channel. And Saturday, we'll have that full podcast interview with Paul Abbandato, award-winning journalist and author, covered Cardiff for 30 years with Wales Online and other publications. We had a really good, hour and a bit sat next to each other debating and talking about this season and deeper sort of ins and outs of bullets decision making and stuff. And it was interesting because obviously me and him had a Twitter spat a couple of years ago, so that was quite cool to sort of chat in person and stuff. But I gotta do another one because he's obviously written books on Gary Speed and Giggs and Nigel Owens and someone like Barry John. So like we're going to have a podcast where he shares like stories about Gary Speed and Ryan Giggs and stuff like this. I'm looking forward to that. He's full of stories, mate. He's full of he's very close to Marky Mackay as well. So I'm going to delve into that a bit and stuff. So looking forward to it, but that'll be out on Saturday. And of course, Roger Giggs on football over on Ace Podcast Nation tomorrow. Roger Gibbons weekend will be hopefully this Saturday if I've got time to edit it, but I think I will. And also, I agree with what Paul has just said there. Jordan James for Cardiff City, come on, Matthew. You know what you want to say something before we
yes, upper flower.
Make sure you get your tickets for City Legends and look out for the upcoming announcement about the new event. It's going to be a belter, but it's not in flower because Rob has let me down. Take it easy.
Mm-hmm. Social Podcast Network.